So we come here this evening to celebrate. We come here this evening to meditate, remember, to honor. We come here to marvel. We come here to marvel at the fact that Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, fully God, fully human, died on a cross as an atonement for sin. And in our closing word tonight, I want to do two things. The first thing I want to do is I want to link two words together. Have us leaving here tonight having two words inseparably glued together. The second thing I want to ask would be, who are we in the story? Who are we in the story? I think we could find ourselves in the Christ crucifixion story. So the first thing, linking two words together. The two words I want to link together tonight are very simply these two words, love and sacrifice. Love and sacrifice. Jesus Christ, God's Son, coming to earth, taking on human flesh, was an expression of God's love for us. We want to drink in both words when we think of the cross. If we leave love out of it, the cross is going to seem just merely brutal. If we leave sacrifice out of it, we are missing the fullness of the most loving act God has poured out upon his image bearers. Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was out of love that God the Father sent God the Son to earth to rescue. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. It was out of love that God the Son came to earth and served, was not served, and laid down his life. It is out of love. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. It is out of love that the Son of God dies for his people. This is why we must, in our minds, look at what we celebrate today, what we symbolized in the Lord's Supper, and link love and sacrifice. We must see the cross in the context of love. Bloody? Sure. Ugly? Certainly. Horrifying? Oh, yeah. Crucifixion was horrifying. But in all of it, love. It is out of love that the Father sends the Son, God in human flesh, to die on a cross to serve as a sacrifice. John uses a word here that some translations want to leave out because it's a tough word. But don't check out when Scripture uses big words, because they're usually conveying glorious truth. Big, full expressions of God's power. A propitiation. Jesus was a propitiation out of love. What is a propitiation? Very simply, it is a sacrifice that absorbs wrath. Jesus came to be a sacrifice that absorbed the wrath of God that was due for us. A propitiation is a sacrifice that appeases God's righteous demands. God has righteous demands of us. We've blown it, and there's nothing we can do about it. But Christ comes and does it for us. He appeases the righteous demands of God. And he atones for sin. Sinful man cannot atone for his own sin. We have all sinned against a holy God. A holy God is wrathful towards sin. His justice, His righteousness must be satisfied. There must be an atoning sacrifice for sin to account for it. Because God's righteousness must be satisfied. God's holiness must be satisfied. Jesus Christ dies on a cross to take that wrath. Jesus Christ dies on a cross to take the sin of humanity upon Himself. Jesus Christ dies on a cross to provide a sacrifice to appease God's righteous demands, a propitiation out of atonement, out of love. Keep those two things connected. Sacrifice out of love. A bloody, rugged cross on which the King of Glory died out of love. It is out of love that the Father turns His back on the Son. Why have You forsaken Me? Out of love for us. Treating the Son on the cross as though He was sin. Out of love for us. It is out of love that Christ's sacrifice would be all-sufficient, allowing for Christ to rightly cry out, "It is finished." Nothing more to be done, because Christ has done it all and Christ has finished it. On that cross, out of love, Christ made an atonement. Christ paid the penalty for the sin of humanity fully. Nothing to be added. Nothing man can do further except believe. All out of love. The most incredible display of love. Love and sacrifice. We must keep this day framed in love. Secondly, who are we in the story? Who are we in the story? What do we do with this love displayed on the cross? It is this monumental, immeasurable display of love and glory. What do we do with it? It happened. What do we do with it? I believe all of humanity belongs to one of two people groups. One of two people groups, both displayed in Matthew's account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The first group is one that all of humanity begins in. Everybody was in this first group. It is the group that walked by Jesus hanging on a cross, walked by this massive expression of God's love, and says, "Hey, you who destroy yourselves, come on! If you're the Son of God, come on down, Jesus!" This group would walk by and say, what? He would save others, but He can't save Himself? What a King of Israel He is! Or, "He trusts in God, let God deliver him! If this God's so great, if He's the Son of God, let Him walk off the cross!" You may be sitting here saying, "I've never said such things." But if you are here now, and you have not embraced God's love and sacrifice, if you have not come to Christ by faith, if you have not trusted that He died to take your sin upon Himself, God's wrath due you upon Himself, you're mocking that love much the same way as this. You're mocking the sacrifice in the very same way as these mockers. Sure, you don't say, "Well, if you're the King, let yourself down, Mr. King." You don't say that, but you do say, I don't believe you because I don't think I need you. You did not need to die for me. I don't need God's expression of love. I've got this taken care of myself. That rejection is mocking the ultimate display of love and sacrifice the universe has ever seen or will ever see. And if you die in that state of rejection, if you die in that state of mocking God's love and sacrifice, there is no hope for you. That's heavy. You've rejected God's love. You've rejected God's sacrifice he made out of love. The good news is that could end right now. The rebellion can end at this moment. The reaction against God's love and sacrifice can be put to an end. God says, you receive this sacrifice, this propitiation, this absorbing of God's wrath, this massive display of love. You receive it simply by faith. Turn from your rebellion. Turn from your rejection of God, your rejection of his love, your rejection of his Christ, your rejection of his sacrifice, and believe, and you will be saved. For the glory of Christ, as a minister of the gospel, I implore you and I beg you, come to Christ now by faith and be saved. We were all there at one point. That's why Christ says, verily, verily, I say to you, you must be born again. If you come to Christ by faith, you are pictured by a second people group. A second people group in Matthew. At the end of Matthew's crucifixion account, we find this. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. This centurion and the group around him, perhaps those who were just mocking Jesus, perhaps the very centurion who oversaw with sadistic joy the nails being driven into Jesus, sees all that happens on the cross, all that happens around him, the darkness, the earthquake, the tombs being broken open. And they, along with the centurion, those with him, say, truly, this was the Son of God. If you are here now, in Christ, we've all had that moment. A glorious day for that moment. The moment when things became clear to us. The moment when our sin that wasn't a big deal became a really big deal. The moment where God's holiness that we just brushed off like a happy old grandfather who'll just wink and say, come on, take your sucker. It becomes huge and horrifying. The foolishness of continuing in our way is apparent to us, and our great need for Christ is before us. And by the Spirit, by God's grace, for the glory of Christ, we are able to see it. We are able to see the Son of God. And we come to Christ by faith. We've said, you are who you said you are. You are the Christ. You are the Savior. You are the Rescuer. You are the way, the truth, the life. It is only through you that we can come to the Father. The proclamation that Jesus was the Son of God
was particularly costly for a Roman, it was earth-shakingly costly for a Roman soldier. It was Caesar who was proclaimed to the Romans as being the Son of God. It was Caesar who was God himself on earth. Such a pronouncement by a Roman was saying, this stuff about Caesar being God is wrong. It's him. It's this Jesus. He is God and Caesar is not. It is a renouncing of the world. And those of us in Christ have had similar moments where the gods that we spent our lives worshiping, we spent our lives serving, become bankrupt and false to us in light of Almighty God in the person of Christ. And we behold the one true God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is you, see God's love on display on Good Friday. See it in all of its intensity, its blazing intensity. Look at the cross and see God's love, not just this day, but all days. That love follows us every day of our life. No matter what you are going through, never doubt God's love. It is fully assured, evidenced by the coming of Christ, evidenced by the death of Christ, all out of love. Love through sacrifice. The cross of Christ, God's immense love on display through an immense sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, we confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Father, we stand in awe that he would leave the glory-filled throne room of heaven to take on the veil of his creation. Father, we praise the name of Christ. Father, whoever in this room now, in their own way, in their own words, remains a mocker, who believes that they are not in need of Christ, I pray, Lord, that they would repent right now and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that your Spirit would compel them to seek somebody out and say, tell me more about this Christ. Father, we are asking for your Spirit now to move in that way here. For those of us who are your children, brought into this covenant by the blood of Christ, adopted into your family by the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that indwells all believers. Father, we praise you. And we thank you for your grace. Keep us focused on the love you have displayed. And let that be the springboard for this new command that Christ gives his people, that we would love one another as you have loved us. Bless us, Father. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.